Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles podcast with Dave and Chris. And I think we're even especially excited tonight because as we're recording here, both of us have Chicago connections. And by the time this comes out, it may have already changed, but hopefully not. But we're very excited. The Chicago Cubs just won the division series against the St. Louis Cardinals.
I'm just sitting here in my house and I'm hearing people just go crazy.
Yeah.
My downstairs neighbors, I almost was like, hey, keep it out there.
I know. We got a
podcast. Got to record a podcast.
So it's kind of it's a perfect metaphor, the Cubs versus Cardinals, for what album we're talking about tonight, which is called Tug of War. And if you know anything about the Cubs-Cardinals history in baseball, it's a legendary rivalry. And you could almost see this reissue of Paul McCartney's Tug of War is also kind of a rivalry with himself in a lot of ways in his own musical career and where he was back in 1982. So we're excited to talk about the album and the remastered reissued.
Yeah, I was particularly excited that these two were coming out so I could I don't think I ever got them when I was young.
Which, both Tug of War and Pipes Apiece?
Or? Neither of them.
Oh, wow.
But I got one of my first singles I purchased was Ebony and Ivory.
Oh.
And I also had the single for Take It Away. So I'm very familiar with a couple of the B-sides that we'll talk about later. But I don't think I had either of the albums. And, you know, once this remaster series kind of started, I was like particularly kind of circling this one, being such a fan of a couple of the songs on it, to hear the remastered versions. And I think this is one of the better deluxe editions too. It's really given us some good stuff on that second disc.
Yeah, I think so. One of the complaints that you and I both had about some of the previous McCartney remaster reissues was that not only were they extremely expensive, but they had stuff we didn't really want, or, you know, maybe it'd be nice to look at once. And then also they were really kind of chintzy on the bonus tracks and didn't really have much. Almost on a couple of them, they made two disc sets, but they really could have just been one. There weren't that many tracks. So this one, on the other hand, has quite a few bonus tracks, and most of them are demos, but I think they're still pretty interesting and worth some discussion that we'll get into later.
Yeah. Now, like you were saying, this is a very strange time for McCartney. He had made McCartney 2.
Which is your favorite, I know.
Check my machine! Go to check! Save that for another discussion. Save that for our McCartney 2 discussion. But
yeah.
I had not known until I started researching this album that Wings hadn't disbanded before McCartney 2. And this, they were like, he made McCartney 2 and he's like, oh, that was a bit of good fun. Now let's do another Wings.
Yeah.
But I need to get George Martin. So one of the first things he did was contact George Martin and say, hey, would you come and listen to these demos I made with. Well, there's a little bit of a dispute on whether or not he made them by himself or with some help.
Denny Lane.
Yeah. From Wings. But it seems like Denny Lane was at least involved in some of the rehearsals of the early songs. And he recorded a bunch of these demos and then gave them to George Martin. And George Martin was kind of like, yeah, you know what? You're going to get some pushback from me. Because you've been running everything with nobody to guard you for years, so I'm gonna get you. If you want me to work with you, you're gonna listen to my opinion, which I think the results, I would say are pretty good from that.
Yeah, and I think that you hit on something, the importance of George Martin being back. Because not only did they have the history together with the Beatles, but it was in a way he was kind of a replacement for John, or at least someone who could tamp down some of McCartney's excesses, maybe, or kind of the filler songs that had been on some of the later Wings albums and McCartney 2. So it's actually like, let's get back to writing good songs. And so that really happened. And you look at the dates when this album was recorded, from October 1980 to December 1981. Well, there was a pretty important event that happened in between those dates that surely has direct impact on at least one song or more. But yeah. I think there's sort of a, I don't know, there's more of a seriousness in this. Like McCartney, he just sounds different. There's a different atmosphere and aura about this album that maybe reflects what was happening after John Lennon's assassination.
Yeah, I think that's certainly true. It seems like whereas McCartney 2, whether or not you like McCartney 2, and we won't say if we like it or not until we get to doing that album, because I, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't like that album, and then I listen to it and I change my mind.
Right.
And then people are like, you're wishy-washy. That's not, I don't mean to be that. Yeah. But whether or not you like it, it's a very experimental kind of tossed off thing. This was like, let's make a great, great album.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, it was supposed to be a Wings album, but once they got into some actual Wings rehearsals with Lawrence Juber and the whole gang, apparently the rehearsals went dreadfully, and mm-hmm. just was, and as soon as the rehearsals ended, McCartney announced, yeah, Wings is done.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then this becomes one of the first real McCartney solo albums, the turning point,
mm-hmm.
where it's now not, I mean, those earlier albums were solo albums, handmade and just him by himself and that kind of, you know, Linda's over there hitting a tom-tom and shouting in the background. This is the first one that feels like a full-fledged Paul McCartney,
like professional
solo.
Yeah, professional, yeah. Album, right?
Yeah.
So it came out officially, was released on April 26, 1982. So it took about, you know, a little less than 2 years to put it all together. And when it originally came out, there were 12 tracks on it. We heard one of them. We heard a demo version to start the show of a song that you mentioned that you liked a lot, which we'll get to in a little more detail soon. But there were 12 tracks, and kind of a diversity here. You have some really solo tunes, and then a lot of collaborations that we'll get into.
Yeah. It's and here's the other thing. You really, this and Pipes of Peace are sort of co-albums almost.
Right.
Because some of the tunes that ended up on that album were recorded sort of at this time,
yeah,
and kind of pushed to being, oh, let's not make. And at first, I think this was supposed to be a double album.
Mm.
At one point, they were like, oh, what about a double album? And they're like, no, let's make, you know. So that's why they're so tied in together, you know. But yeah, this got pushed back and delayed a few times too before it came out. And the first thing that came out was a huge single, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
Big smash hit number one. You know, and the anticipation for this album was pretty big, because not just because of that, but because people had heard rumors that there was going to be a song about John on the album.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you know, big interest in it, and it sold pretty well when it came out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Pretty favorable reviews overall. There were a couple of dissenting opinions. The New York Times guy really didn't like it and said it was mawkish, which I always like that word, mawkish. Otherwise, pretty good review, and now it's heralded as one of his best solo albums, and I think that it warrants that designation. I think also part of it is because of some of the people that play on the album. He gets really great people. So not only is the famous collaboration with two collaborations with Stevie Wonder on here, but you have other great players like Steve Gadd, the longtime drummer for Paul Simon and many others. You've got, of course, Ringo plays on here and is in a video of Take It Away. You have Eric Stewart, who I know is one of your favorite people. You're going to be talking about him a little later.
Yeah, I got something to say about him.
Yeah.
He's very, really puts his stamp on one of these songs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then the other names that you might have seen on albums, like Dave Maddox or Matt Tax, I don't know how you say it, but he's a drummer, session guy. It's been on a lot of albums. And Stanley Clark, bass player. A lot of really good players on here. And I think that helps make the songs even better.
Yeah, McCartney was quoted in saying, like, well, once it was, like, not going to be a Wings thing, then I just wanted to bet the best.
Yeah.
So I went out and I got who I thought was the best at the time.
Right. Yeah.
So, well, pretty good.
So do you want to discuss, I can read through the remaster options here.
Oh, yeah, let's do that, and then we'll get into the tracks
here. Yeah, sounds good. So if you go to your local store or online, here's what you can buy. So it was released on October 2nd, so about a week ago from when we're recording now. So you have the standard edition, 2-CD remixed version with the original album on the first disc and then 11 bonus tracks. Then you have the 3-CD, 1-DVD box set, which contains some video footage of the sessions and such, and then 112-page essay book and 64-page scrapbook. And then, if you really have a lot of money...
That scrapbook, by the way, I think it's just about the video.
Yeah, that's right. It's not much about the album. Yeah, exactly. And then, for the real diehard completists, you can get the Super Deluxe CD, DVD, 3-CD, 1-DVD box set, which has the 112-page essay, 64-page scrapbook, and a limited edition acrylic slipcase.
Oh.
Whoa.
Nice.
And then also, this has been released on remastered vinyl. So lots of options that you can get here. And so I think we'll limit our discussion, our in-depth discussion, to the album proper, and then we'll kind of give you a run through the bonus tracks with a few stops along the way. So you want to take it away here with the first song, Tug of War.
Yeah, Tug of War is where it starts. Let's just jump right in and play a little bit of Tug of War, and then we'll talk about it.
It's a tug of war. What with one thing and another, it's a tug of war. We expected more, but with one thing and another, we were trying to outdo each other in a tug of war. In another world, in another world, we could stand on top of the mountain with our flag unfurled. In a time to come, in a time to come, we will be dancing to the beat played on a different drum. It's a tug of war. Though I know I mustn't grumble, it's a tug of war. But I can't let go. If I do, you'll take a tumble, and the whole thing is gonna crumble. It's a tug.
How do you feel about that song? Does it make you want to stand on top of the mountain with your flag unfurled, or must you grumble?
I think I'm going to climb up and stand at the top of the mountain with my flag unfurled about that one. Yeah, I like it. It has the whole album has a lot of trademark George Martin orchestrations and productions to it, but it's a very pretty melody and a very nice tune. And the lyrics, I think, are also kind of, using tug of war as a metaphor for life's struggles and how in the end it really comes down to being with the ones you love. I mean, not a very profound statement, but heartfelt, and I like it.
I like it, too. I feel like the orchestration of this, the music of this, really drives the song.
Yeah.
It's almost like a George Martin song with a nice Paul McCartney lyric on it that's sort of, like you said, not the most profound thing. Here's my only problem with this song is, like, do you ever push in Tug of War? If you're playing it?
Because they're saying pushing, pulling. Yeah.
You always just pull.
I think
right? You're
pulling, aren't you? Well, I don't know. You're
pulling
kinda,
and some... pulling. Is there ever any pushing? I know. It's just.
I'm going to have to think about that one. I don't know.
Now, I also. Each of these songs has such deep little things in it that I want to point out. I wanted to point out one musical thing on each of these. And this is at the moment where it's like that they say the second time played on a different drum, and we get this rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat kind of drum bill marching, almost a marching band drum beat.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in, I just think that's brilliant. I just
like
they're really, really well done.
Yeah, lots of good touches on this one for sure. Yeah. So I think it's a great opener and leads well into one of the singles from the album that has a wonderful video that goes with it, where you can see Ringo and George Martin, and it's the song "Take It Away."
Well, do you want to hear this play till the lights go down, Dave? Or do you think it's sort of like Faded Flowers weighed in the jar?
I like this one. It's got an all-star cast. If you look at the personnel, you've got Paul, Linda, Eric Stewart, Ringo Starr, Steve Gadd, and George Martin are playing on this one. So pretty good group there. I think what stands out to me most about this one is the different feels. I really like how... It starts out dun, 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 with one feel, and then once the song gets going, it's much faster, and then that comes back when they ask, "You never know who may be listening to ya." Kind of gets all spooky there.
Yeah.
So I like the different feels.
This, me as a kid, me as a 7 or 8 year old kid getting this record, I just loved it. Couldn't get enough of it. It was one of my, I'm thinking about, this might have been my first exposure to, because I was just hearing, like a kid does, just what's on the radio, right?
Right.
And on the radio was Ebony and Ivory, big hit, number one hit. And then this came on the radio. I must get this record now that I got that one. So I always loved it. And re-listening to it and really examining it, two things really, really, really stood out for me. One is those sort of double drum kind of thing happening at the beginning of the song.
Yeah.
You got the one drum going with the one feel, and the other one playing this sort of like the real loose kind of wild drums. Now, have you double drums ever worked on another song? I can't think of one.
Not many, no.
It's just amazing. I mean, just brilliant stuff. And then the other thing is, we talked about Eric Stewart.
Yeah.
Now Eric Stewart, if you don't know who that is, was in a band called 10cc, who had a big hit. Now, what I'd like to do is play you a little bit of Take It Away here, starting at 318 in the track. And then I'm going to play you, and then it's going to fade into a clip from the 10cc's hit song, which I'm sure many of you know, "I'm Not in Love." So let's listen to those, and you'll see what I'm trying to point out here.
so don't forget it.
Yeah.
It's almost like they were looking, writing the songs at the same time, or writing the songs together or something. Yeah.
Yeah. These super multi-layered background vocals.
I like those.
Is what I do best. And it just, in this song, is Take It Away. It's just fantastic. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. No, it's a great song. And just a lot of stuff going on, like the brass at the end, that along with those vocal ahs and oohs and stuff. But interesting brass going, and just lots of touches that are really interesting here. So I can see why it did well. It was not a number one hit, but it did pretty well. Still was a top 10 U.S. entry, so still had some success.
I think as a kid, I was mad that it didn't get number one.
Yeah.
Isn't it number one?
I know.
So.
Yeah. So you've got that big, really energetic song, and it's followed by something a bit quieter. But it's a song that I think Paul has written different variations on in years to come that I'll bring up after we talk about it. And it's called Somebody Who Cares.
Okay, Dave, are you somebody who cares about this, or do you think this one's frustrating?
I'm somebody who cares about this one.
I
like it. It's very jazzy sounding, and it features the Stanley Clark on bass and Steve Gadd, so really good players. And it reminds me of songs like I was alluding to before about rewriting this song, things like Distractions, or there's a song called Footprints on Press to Play. They're kind of like a bit of a Latin feel, or a jazz, light jazz kind of feel, with acoustic guitars and things like that. It's a very attractive sound, I think. I wish I'd hear Paul do more of that.
Yeah, this one really wasn't on my radar before we started studying up for this, and it's really won me over. It's not a skipper. Not a skipper at all. If there's if there's two slight things about it, it may be a bit long. Not much happen. It's sort of the second half of the song is just sort of a repeat kind of thing. So that bothers me a slight bit. And what do you think about that pan flute?
I know the pan pipes played by Adrian Brett.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
he's really going to town on him.
He is.
So yeah, that's a little off to me. But
kind of unnecessary.
I like it.
Yeah.
So far, we got three thumbs up.
Which leads us to number four, and this is the first real star turn here, because it's with a very famous person, and he's actually coming to Kansas City, I believe, pretty soon. That would be not the famous song, but the other one on the album.
Yeah.
And that's What's That You're Doing, which is a duet with Stevie Wonder.
Good morning. Oh, good afternoon. Good night.
Dave, do you like what that does to you? Give me some more. Or are you all like, girl, you make me feel so small?
I'm going to go. I think it makes me feel pretty small.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one. First.
The first three lyrics of it. Let me just read the first.
Yeah, read it for us here.
Good morning or good afternoon. Good night.
Kind of sums it up.
Yeah. I am like, what are you guys doing?
A couple of issues with this one. It's, first of all, over 6 minutes long and really, to me, starts to wear out its welcome after a couple minutes because it's very repetitious. Now, I'll say that the riff is pretty cool and it's a funky groove and it's very Stevie Wonder, which is great.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't really go anywhere. And maybe that was the point.
It feels dated to me. It feels like just the sound, like it's in between. Like 70s Stevie Wonder, I like. I know you don't so much.
I'm not a big Stevie Wonder fan. Yeah, I don't know.
This is that era of 80s Stevie Wonder that just, where listening to any of that stuff now, it's like the electronics that he upgraded to are sort of those poor 80s electronics. And I think that really affects this. The sort of wah, wow sounds are just like poor and dated. Plus this drum track.
Yeah.
Doesn't this drum track remind you of McCartney 2?
It sounds like a lot like that, yeah.
Like it really, actually, this song, to extract this song popping onto McCartney 2.
It would work.
And it actually might liven McCartney 2 up a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'm like, girl, you make me feel so small on this one too. It's a dud.
Yeah. It is. It just, yeah. It's
full-blown dud.
Full-blown dud. Yeah. Wow.
But 6 minutes and 22 seconds of that gets you ready.
Mm-hmm.
And might have won somebody over to a little song called Here Today.
And if I said I really knew you well, what would your answer be? If you were here today, say that we were worlds apart. If you were here today, ooh, here today. But as for me, I still remember how it was before, and I am holding back the tears.
So what is it, Dave? Are you always there with a smile, or are you holding back the tears here on Here Today?
A little of both, actually, on this one. I know this is one of our, this is probably our strongest agree to disagree song, would you say?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
We have talked about it before, and I've said it's a skipper, and I need to take a bathroom break during it, and I don't like it.
Which you did, actually, when we were at the McCartney concert in Chicago. Yeah.
But the album version here, and I think I've mostly heard this live, the album version here with the orchestration, just something about that recontextualized it a little bit for me and really tied it into Yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much like Yesterday feeling to me. And it's nice, but what's always I identified, what's always bothered me about it is it's extremely maudlin. There's no, it's not like a looking back and feeling hopeful and joyful as much as it's being real sad.
Yeah.
Just steeping you in a big tea bag of sadness. That said, in the context of the album, you know, we just heard What's That You're Doing? We're about to go into one of the bounciest songs of all time. Yeah, really good, very welcome after that dud. So, so this listening to it over and over again this week has really made me appreciate it a lot more. I would still say it's very maudlin.
Well, I'm glad to hear you've come around a little bit. I've always loved the song. I think it's very beautiful and a very nice tribute to John. And I think it may be some of the maudlin or the steeping sadness, tea bag of sadness or whatever you called it. I think that may come from the time that it was written. It was still so raw.
Yeah.
When this album was finished in December of 81, so just a year after John had been killed, and it seems like it's just so a very raw kind of song, and just Paul pouring out his heart here. And I do think there is some sense, there is some hope in here, or some positive signs when they're talking about their times together and the always there with a smile and all those sorts of things that Paul was saying to John, I think. So for me, it's always been a winner, and I like it. But I do like this version the best because, and think about George Martin being in the studio at the same time too. The two guys who knew this intimately and knew John intimately must have been even really powerful experience.
Dave, you might have won this argument. Ah. Oh, no. What happened? Dave won one. Yeah, I got it. Oh, no. Well, let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on. That's a perfect ending for side one. So then you flip over. Okay, so if you're at home now and you got that vinyl album, go flip your album over now, and we'll move on to the first song on side two, which has the fun title of Ballroom Dancing.
All right, Dave, Ballroom Dancing. Do you just plain adore this, or it wasn't all such a pretty sight?
I adore this one in a weird way. I remember first seeing the performance of this, and I freely admit that I did watch Give My Regards to Broad Street when it came out. And Paul does a performance of this, or kind of a miming of it. And it's pretty fun. It's a very lively song. Like you say, it provides some relief after the seriousness of Here Today. There's some this one also has the different feels. You have kind of a jam or like a breakdown section in the middle, which I like. And there's some interesting sound effects or little audio tricks. There's a cool spot where the clarinet is soloing and then turns into a trumpet. Which is a very nice little effect there. And it's fun. I don't think it's supposed to be very serious. The book I'm looking at here is The Words and Music of Paul McCartney by Vincent Benitez. And he says, although the song has elements of both big band and rock and roll styles, ballroom dancing sounds like Walk of Life, a Cajun-style number recorded by Dire Straits 3 years later. And I wanted to see what you thought of that comparison.
That's a pretty good comparison. It's sort of a song. Walk of Life's never a song that you're like, oh, it really made me sit down and think.
No.
but it's always a song. If it's on at a bar, you're like, hey, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's fun. This really is probably the song that most went from I didn't think about it hardly at all to love it.
Mm-hmm.
I just it really stuck with me. Really yeah. stuck with me. So much going on. The piano is excellent in it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the better deep-ranged vocal performances for Paul on the album.
Yeah.
You know, he gets all the way up to that ballroom dancing. The other thing about this is it really kind of sticks in pretty well with, which this album doesn't always do, especially What's That You're Doing, with the theme. It really, especially that line, we used to fight like cats and dogs.
Right.
And if you think about dancing, it sort of mirrors kind of a tug of war, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So and that long instrumental break you mentioned is so good.
Yeah.
It's got that glissando clarinet. That was.
Yep.
I'm glad you pointed that out.
Yeah.
I really love the guitar at the end of that too,
mm-hmm.
and it just builds it up. And it's so long that it makes that last verse really land when it comes back in. You know, mm-hmm. it's like you're waiting for it, and it's like, yeah, we're back to the verse. So,
yeah, big buildup.
Yeah. So I just plain adore you, ballroom dancing.
Yes, it is a winner. So
yeah.
Good. So that starts out side two with a bang, and then we kind of fall, or that we sink actually with the next one here, which is called The Pound Is Sinking.
The pound is sinking, the peso's falling, the lira is reeling, I'm feeling quite appalling. The mark is holding, the franc is fading, the drachma is very weak, but everyone's still trading.
All right, Dave, what do you think? Is that extraordinary, man? Or are you feeling quite appalling about it?
I'd have to lean towards a little bit appalling.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, this has not really been one of my favorites. I like parts of it, but maybe that's because it consists of two different songs that were put together. It just seems too inconsistent to me. It goes all over the place and doesn't really hold together.
Well, we're going to disagree on this one. I'm an extraordinary man on this one.
Ooh.
And I know the lyrics, the remastered version actually should go, the euro's sinking, the euro's falling.
Exactly.
The euro's really, and we're feeling quite appalled. I think that lyrically this is okay to poor. and especially because of the datedness of it now,
yeah.
like I'm mentioning, but musically, I just think this is awesome. Like those multi-section things,
yeah,
work so well for me. Many of his mannerism, like even in this little, it's just that the lyrics are so bad. That's the thing driving it down a little bit.
Yeah.
And that it doesn't quite, you know, it makes it, this, I think, is one of your things that where you are bothered a lot more than I am sometimes. And Admiral Halsey,
I was just
Albert,
about to say that, actually.
Would be a good example.
Yeah.
Where the lyrics are so nothing to you,
mm-hmm.
and don't really tie together at all, that you're that wins the day for you. And I think what wins the day for me is the like that cool sort of Wings era guitar on
yeah.
this. I don't know about the money sound effects. That's kind of dumb.
Yeah, was he sort of was he sitting around saying, "Yeah, I think we should start the song with some get some pounds and let's drop them and put the mic down there on the floor."
Yeah, it might have been a George idea. I don't know.
Yeah, it could have
Martin.
Been.
I think though it really saves it though is there's all that stuff going on musically and it's only 2 minutes 55 seconds.
Yes, it's fairly.
So
short.
If it was a little bit longer, it would not work. This is a good time to mention that section in the center, the something that didn't happen section,
right,
is so good in the demo version that I'm sort of like, why didn't they just make that song?
Why didn't he just make that its own tune?
Yeah. It could be a short. In fact, just the demo version of it to me is like. Yeah. Maybe comparable in quality to this, but I really think they did a great job with the music on that one.
Yeah. So yeah, I won't disagree with that. It's polished and well done. I think maybe you hit on something though that I tend to like things that are a little more consistent or more unified. But it seems like the ones that are a little more patchwork, I'm not as much of a fan of. So
yeah,
that could be, but. Anyway, it's interesting for what it is. So,
yeah. Well, although I will say that ties into the theme of the. I mean, if you're picking songs for an album called Tug of War, and you got a song about how some people are winning the money war and some people are losing
it,
that's probably pretty good song to add on there.
That's a good point. So, that's very true.
So
yeah. So
I pretty much won that argument.
I'm just kidding. Well, I know at least the next song you and I are both in 100% agreement about.
Yeah.
And we've actually talked about it a lot, so we're not going to play it. But
yeah.
It's the song Wanderlust. And
yeah.
I think
this
was,
one is for us.
This is. Yes.
I won't do the silly stuff. This one is for us.
Yeah. I remember picking it for our underrated McCartney episode way, way back. And then. When we did a covers episode, you chose the Brian Wilson version of this song from The Art of McCartney as one of your selections. And I think we both have a like of it. And I don't know if it's the lyrics or just the building music. And
well, it does so many things, right?
Yeah, it's got
a lot of
things.
It's got that beautiful, simple piano intro. That mm-hmm. alone is just like grabs your attention. And then the horns are great throughout this thing. And what I didn't notice until really, really studying it is that 12 string sort of coming in like light up wonder.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty loud in the new mix. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. So that I very much enjoyed.
Yeah, so we're big fans of Wanderlust.
There's a video for that one, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Kind of silly video.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course. So that's a good one, and then that's followed up by another duet here with Carl Perkins from the great old 50s rocker and huge influence on the Beatles, and particularly George Harrison and Paul McCartney. So why don't we listen to a little of Get It?
You gotta get it, don't forget it, doesn't come around again. You gotta get it, you gotta get it, and you gotta get it good. Once I had a little Spanish guitar, my neighbors told me I could go pretty far. Well, I came and I went, and my guitar got bent. But I discovered that the people who love are what we need if we're to get up above it all. And that's that, unless the world is flat. I want to get it.
Okay, Dave, do you need to get this one? Got to get it good, or do you hope it doesn't come around again?
I'm going to get it good on this one.
Doesn't come around again.
Yeah, this is a fun song. It's just fun, you know, and that's nice after... not everything has to be very serious and have meaning to it. It's just a fun tune between the two of them, a little rockabilly song and real light. And there's a funny story that goes with it. I don't know if you were going to tell the story about why it ends with Carl Perkins laughing for about 30 seconds.
I don't even know the story, so this is going to be a real delight here.
Yes. Well, I'm quoting from the Vincent Benitez book again here. And am I allowed to swear here? Because I've got to...
Please do.
All right. So here it is.
Please do.
So quoting from Vincent Benitez's book, at the end of Get It, Perkins can be heard laughing in response to McCartney's use of an expression of his regarding how good the take was. Earlier in the week, Perkins attended a party with McCartney on a lavish yacht. Mm-hmm. And you have to remember that Carl Perkins was a poor guy from Tennessee when he first started.
Yeah.
Remarking on the posh setting, Perkins said that it reminded him of, quote, shitting in high cotton, unquote. Thus, when McCartney said the same thing at the end of Get It, which was deleted, Perkins burst out laughing.
That's great. I almost picked this for our bass episode.
Oh, yeah.
The bass on this is just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
That Spanish guitar line, I've just been singing to myself all week. Once that little Spanish guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Just, it's a real nice little song here.
Catchy.
You know, catchy. Short,
mm-hmm.
nothing too bad. You know, if you're taking score here, we've only got one dud.
Yeah, that's
up
true.
Till now,
yeah.
And this one we like to. Oh, well, two for you, but one.
Two for
one
me.
For
yeah. Well, I wouldn't call The Pound of Sinking a dud. I would just say it's not one of my favorites.
So, but Get It. Yeah, I really. And you would think there's a little trouble brewing. Mm-mm. If you have more than one guest star.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually how I feel about it. If it's like, hey, the new Paul McCartney album's coming out and there's two guest stars on it, I'm already like, these collabos, they could go one way or another. But this really works for me. I like it.
Yeah, so very cool. So it's followed up.
Gonna get it good.
Yeah, gotta get it good on this one. And it's followed up by 34 seconds of what he calls a link, which is called Be What You See. And it's Paul speaking into a vocoder, electronic instrument. And it's really not a song. It's just kind of connects the next song, I guess.
We'll do an episode upcoming of the most completely worthless things on Beatle and... Beatle and solo Beatle albums, and this will be in the episode because it's like, what, why, and especially why do you need a link with a song that the next song starts so brusquely, abruptly? Maybe that's why they thought like, oh, it's too abrupt or something.
You couldn't go from Carl Perkins laughing right into.
I don't know what Be What You See is doing on this thing. It's garbage.
It's but it's followed up by
I'm sorry to mince words there.
No, that's good. You got to do that. We got to know how you really feel. So, okay. But it's followed by the song that it links, which is called Dress Me Up as a Robber.
Well, what do you think about this, Dave? Is it ooh wee oo or is it ooh wee oo?
That might be your best one yet here. I like that. Oh, I'm going to go ooh wee oo.
Yeah.
I dig this one. It's one that you cannot get out of your head.
Catchy.
So catchy. And it's, again, got different parts to it. It got that kind of minor sound that starts out and frames the song, and then it goes into a major key in the middle, and just so catchy. Great instrumentation, and it's just all there. I don't know about the lyrics. I don't even really know what the song's about. I just like the music a lot.
Dress me up as a sailor. Okay, first thing. Do you want to see Paul McCartney dressed up as a sailor?
Well,
yes,
I do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This sounds like the theme to, like, this song should be playing on that yacht, fancy yacht, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like an international travel lifestyle. You know, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous type show.
I can see that, yeah.
And it's dumb, and that horrible intro lick that drives me crazy. And the ba-da-das and that kind of stuff. I like it despite all of that.
I know.
It just stuck with me. And the flamenco guitar lick that's just really good. The bass on this is crazy incredible.
All over the place. Great.
All over the place. So I just, I'm ooh you on it too.
Yeah, it's a pretty good little tune. I like it.
Boy, yeah. I don't know what's happening.
I don't know. But it leads us into the final track on the original album here, which is the most famous song on the album by far, and that's the wonderful duet with Stevie Wonder, Ebony and Ivory.
What we need to survive together alive.
All right, Dave, is this one in perfect harmony for you, or are you like, oh Lord?
Yeah, it's going to be kind of tough. Yeah. I think the harmony is a little muddy on this one. This has been a song that I've kind of vacillated over through the years, between really liking it and finding it very simplistic and dated. Yeah. So obviously the song is about racial harmony as expressed through the metaphor of a piano with the black and the white keys that have to work together to make beautiful music.
A black and white singer.
Yes, and a black and white singer too as well.
Yeah.
So you've got that together. So I like that. I like the message. It's really, it's a nice message. I think it's just, I don't know, maybe we're just kind of cynical now in 2015, but it just seems a little bit naive and dated now to me.
Well, is it corny?
Yeah, that would be a better.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's a good song. You want to put together a Beatles album for your kids?
Yeah.
Teach them some good lessons, and they're going to like the song. I put this one on there.
Yeah.
It's good for, I mean, it's one of these 80s message Stevie Wonder songs.
Yeah.
Which he did more than just this one.
Yes.
That's what Friends Are For, and
yep.
A couple songs like that.
He was on We Are the World. And
super simple and big, big, big hits.
Mm-hmm.
This one kind of works for me. The intro is great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
the other thing about this now, and I admit, you know, I can't. I think they did some study where you can't like go back and not like something that you liked when you were 9 years old.
Memories of it.
Mm-hmm. So I'm a little stuck with that kind of feeling. Now, the thing I like least about it is that it ends the album.
Yeah.
Because it seems like the tug of war, you know, and we started with all this orchestration and stuff. And then this one just kind of fades off real mm-hmm. quick. Like real quick, too. And then that's it.
Yeah.
So,
but maybe it's the resolution of the tug of war here is that we've got perfect harmony at the end of the album and there's nothing more needs to be said.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But I maybe I'm being too harsh, but it's never been one of my favorite McCartney songs. I'm not saying it's bad. It's not one of my favorites, and comes off a little dated nowadays. But it's certainly popular at the time. That's for sure. Big number one hit.
So that that ends the album proper. So let's talk about this second disc, and then we'll say a few things about the general thing, the general album, and give it a rating
here. Yeah, sounds good. So the bonus disc that you get that comes with it here has, at least the typical standard one here, has 11 tracks. And I'd say, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7 to 8 of them are demos of the actual album tracks.
And now, usually demos give me pause. I'm like, demo. No, thank you.
It's going to be bad quality, you know, rough performance, but not at all, right?
Yeah, not at all. It maybe dressed me up like a robber is a little bit a weak sauce. and Wonderlust is super short. But Stop, You Don't Know Where She Came From is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Take It Away that we opened the show with is pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
And here you hear the process, too. You hear The Pound Is Sinking, and then you also have that Something That Didn't Happen as two separate songs. So what do you think about all those, all the demos?
I like them. I think they're not radically different than the album tracks, but it's nice to kind of see how the songs took shape. And actually, there's an Ebony and Ivory demo that's pretty nice of Paul just playing on electric keyboard that I actually like that one. And then there's also a performance of him singing Ebony and Ivory by himself, too, without Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, that's a little
weird,
huh?
Which is a little weird, yeah.
Why
it's kind of doesn't make the song make any sense, but...
Ivory, it should have just been Ivory and more Ivory.
That would be funny, actually. Ivory. Harmony. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But maybe they didn't know if Stevie would show up that day.
Well, that
so
was...
he's like, let me lay down the song.
Yeah.
Just singing my part. Well, apparently that's how he did a lot of these because we got a. And I don't want to spoiler alert for the Pipes of Peace.
Yeah.
But the say we just received is say, but the parts that are sung are switched around.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul singing Michael Jackson's version part and Michael Jackson singing Paul part. It's so fascinating to listen to. It's like, holy crap, this is very strange.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think they're pretty interesting overall. And then there's two, in addition to Stop, You Don't Know Where She Came From, there's two other songs that were B-sides to the big hits, Take It Away and Ebony and Ivory. So, well, want to tell us a little bit about Rain Clouds.
Yeah, we are going to play both of these, and we usually wouldn't spend this much time on bonus track B-side stuff unless we were doing a special episode, but these two are two of my favorites. Rain Clouds might be my single favorite Paul McCartney B-side. I just love. Oh, or maybe I'll give you Rings my favorite. I don't know. Let's play. You know what we'll do? Let's play Rain Clouds and I'll Give You a Ring. We'll play a little bit of both of them just back to back.
Okay, sounds good.
look a little lonely. Maybe I could meet you. Tell me where to reach you, and I'll give you a ring. I take you to the pictures. I miss the second feature. Lord, I can't believe my eyes. I must be dreaming. Give me your number. Little hungry, maybe I could take ya. Tell me when to wake ya, and I'll give you a ring.
Oh, I wanted to get to the ooh, man.
Well, so we want to take them one by one here. Go to start with Rain Clouds. This has an importance in Beatles history because it was the song that Paul was recording when he found out John Lennon was killed, and so. It was recorded on basically on the day he was killed, on December 8th, 1980. And then the day after, he didn't really know what to do after finding out what happened. And so he went to the studio and recorded some overdubs and worked on the song some more. So that's just something that kind of surrounds or shrouds this song. But it's not a depressing song, I don't think, at all.
No, it's I mean, and... Once again, this particular song is perfect for an album for kids. It's simplistic. It's not. I mean, it's a B side too. He properly made it a B side, but I just love it. And it's got a real crazy sort of bagpipey like almost like a Irish folk song in the middle kind of section.
Mm-hmm.
It's really really pretty cool. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Very evocative too.
Yeah.
And it's got that pretty mama is that what is that? It's pretty in the morning, pretty mama. That's what it is. I love it.
Yeah, so it's pretty good. It's one of those things that he can just toss off, just like the next song actually too. I'll give you a ring is one in a very long line of pastiche songs of like American popular song from the 20s and 30s. But this one has a couple of clever lyrics to it that I think are pretty interesting and worth noting.
Take you to the pictures, miss the second feature is one of my favorite lyrics. It's just so brilliant. It's like, oh, what are they doing?
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the whole idea of I'll give you a ring, which could be taken two ways. The phone call, and then, well, there's that other kind of ring, too, that he might get from his girl. So,
I really like this song. I think it's top-notch.
Yeah, it's clever. It's clever. I like it, too.
Man. No, I won't be lonely anymore. And it's got some good Linda on that
there, one. Yeah, Linda's on that one.
There's a version of that, I think, in One Hand Clapping, too, right?
I think so. I think it goes back a ways. Yeah.
Yeah. So great. Yeah.
So that wraps up the bonus track disc. And then there were a couple other, at least there was a Take It Away version that was done as the single edit, which you could download from Paul's website.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah. You can download it for free. So why not do it?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Well, I think overall on this album, my take on it, there is a few dated kind of things, the pound and some of the a little bit of the music, maybe that and a few songs take a while to get going, like you mentioned the first three, in fact. I don't know if I like the push and pull kind of sound effect there at the beginning, but any album that has the word Impresario sung so brilliantly gets at least an 8 from me. So I'm giving it an 8. For especially this collection.
Yeah.
This collection might even get a 9.
I'm with you.
Because it's really good.
I'm with you. I think compared to some of the other deluxe reissues, that the bonus tracks didn't really add all that much. I think the album is really enhanced by the ones that Paul chose. So maybe he heard what we were saying and other fans were saying about selecting the bonus tracks, but I give this album, I also would give it an 8. I think almost maybe even more, but it's definitely up in the top 5 best McCartney albums, in my opinion, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
So, great.
Yeah, so very fun. And, well, we'd be interested. We're not going to be recording a Pipes of Peace comparable episode to this one. So if any of you have bought the Pipes of Peace deluxe editions and want to chime in and let us know things that we should listen for or things that you thought about it, feel free to join and comment on our Facebook page or on Twitter at I've Got a Beatles.
Yeah, I was going to say we might even mention that during our upcoming holiday episode.
That's right. The leaves are starting to fall around here. So
that's right.
Yeah, it's a coming soon. So
it's where I say all the things that I want that I don't get.
Exactly. All right. So, two thumbs up for the Paul McCartney reissue and remastered remixing of the Tug of War album. And what are we going to go out with today?
Let's go out with that something that didn't happen. You can judge yourself if you think this stands on its own enough. So, all right, Dave. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We're at I've Got a Beatles on Twitter. And, of course, our aforementioned Facebook page. And I'm always at Chris D. Bragg with my song of the night.
Hear me, lover. I can't be held responsible now for something that didn't happen.